I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Baugan. 99 euro for 1 year of classes. You can spread the 99 euro over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favourites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Baugan.com.
Haz una pausa y disfruta, mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Baugan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 911-133-5833. 911-133-5833.
Prueba el método Baugan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Baugan.
Hello and welcome to Speaking Football. My name's Tommy Hay and I'm joined here by my co-presenter, Romain Palomero, for episode number 41 of this series. And our first episode of 2020, I have to add as well. Now this week, we're going to be discussing Sergio Reguilón and José Mourinho at Tottenham. And we'll also be looking forward to tomorrow's game between Liverpool and Manchester United. First, however, we're going to start off the show, as always, by revealing the identity of last week's mystery player. Ruben, you can start us off, as always, with clue number one.
He was born in Galicia and played for the Spanish national team.
Remember, yes, fantastic. Remember, for Selección, we say national team. So he was born in Galicia, I think, Pontevedra, I think that was where he was born, and he played for the Spanish national team. Very good. Clue number two, he won 4 leagues in Spain, and he won another league in Panama, which is a very curious place to win a league. But yeah, so 4 leagues in Spain and 1 league in Panama. Clue number three, Romain.
He spent 3 years playing for a team whose nickname is the Riversiders.
Very good, excellent. Now, I think this probably confused a few people because the Riverside Stadium is the stadium of Middlesbrough, but he didn't play for Middlesbrough. He played for another team whose nickname, apodo, is the Riversiders. Clue number four, his nickname, his own personal nickname, was Il Due, which my Italian isn't very good, but I believe that means number two. In Italian, so his nickname was Il Due. And lastly, clue number five, Ruben.
He's the director of a football academy in Dubai.
Very good. He's the director of a football academy in Dubai. Who was our mystery player, Ruben?
Our mystery player was Michel Salgado.
Fantastic. Michel Salgado, yes. And he played for the Riversiders, that would be Blackburn Rovers in England, whose nickname is the Riversiders because their stadium, Ewood Park, is next to a river. So I believe that's where the nickname the Riversiders comes from. Did we have many winners this week, Rubén?
Sí, bueno, esta semana ha habido muchos ganadores. No lo vamos a enumerar a todos, porque además dábamos a uno de ellos un libro Speak Football y el ganador fue Javi Tamames, que ya ha recibido el libro, nos lo puso en redes sociales, que está súper contento, y te enviamos un saludo, Javi. Oye, nos ha encantado esto, lo tenemos que hacer más veces, Tomia, que sí.
Fantastic. Yeah, we need to give a few more books. I think it was a great idea and well done to Javi. He always participates, so it's good that we can give something back to one of the people that always participates. So well done to Javi and everybody else who managed to guess the mystery player. Now, on the topic of Michel Salgado, I was reading about him over the Christmas holidays and I learned something interesting about him. For those of you who don't know, Michel Salgado speaks very good English. He has a very high level of English. I would say a C2 level of English. And I've always wondered how he learned, how he got to that level of English, being a player who, you know, started off his career at Celta Vigo, went to Real Madrid, and is probably most famous for his time in Spain. I wondered, how did he learn such good English? And it turns out that Salgado learned English when he was a child, when he was a little boy. Not in Spain, but in a place called Margate. Have you ever heard of Margate, Robin?
Never.
Most people haven't heard of Margate. It's a very small place. It's a coastal town. You say una localidad costera. It's a coastal town in the south of England, not too far from London. It's just to the east of London. If you can picture the map of England, where London is in the southeast, just to the east of that, that's where Margate is. And that's where Michel Salgado learned English when he was a little kid. And I saw an interview on YouTube where Steve McManaman, who was Salgado's former teammate at Real Madrid, he talks about Salgado's level of English and how it was sort of unusually good for a Spanish player when he arrived at the club. Let's have a listen to what McManaman says.
Did you help him with his English?
No.
The way he helped you with
his
Spanish?
No, because his English was, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure he spent time in Margate when he was younger, unlike when he was in school. So he learned English earlier on.
He was saying in schools in Spain, the person who can speak the best Spanish as a English as a teacher will be the one who teaches English.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though if they're speaking in, forgive my impression, my name.
Yeah,
is
yeah, of course.
Like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's yeah. Not, that's why a lot of Spanish players struggle with English when they come here.
Yeah, but he learned it, and I presume he still speaks it. I see him enough, and he travels enough, and he does a lot of television work. So.
I'm sure he helped you acclimatise.
So it's interesting how the two men in the interview agree that Spanish players generally, usually, struggle with English because of the Spanish education system or the way that the Spanish education system had been in the past. Ruben, what were English classes like when you were at school? Were they good? I mean, did you have a native English teacher? Did you have someone who had lived in an English-speaking country? What was it like?
I'm going to tell you two things. The first one, the resume of my English classes at school were come, came, come. That was what I learned. It's the way we learn the irregular verbs. Mm. So it was impossible to use it in a conversation, and obviously I am not going to pronounce it properly. Mm. My English teacher wasn't a native at school, not even at the high school. Mm-hmm. Only we were at the university. No, neither. But yeah. At the university, at least the teacher speaks well. Mm-hmm. Spoke well. And I can tell you something. When my English teacher at school, it was the mother of a friend of mine, and I translate his CV when he was a young guy, and I don't speak English very well. Obviously, I can't translate a CV because I don't have that level.
It's difficult,
But obviously, at least in my when I was at school, my English was awful. That's the reason why I don't speak and I don't pronounce properly, and I have a lot of problems to understand everything. Obviously, I've been improving, but my English academy it wasn't appropriate for getting a good level.
Or for real life, you know, when you study these, you're saying the
come, came, come. Have to learn it. Remember, come, came, come. And then you have to fill the gaps.
It's incredible, yeah. And I think that's why a lot of Spanish people are scared of speaking English, because it's all these fill the gaps exercises, you know, the huecos, filling the gaps exercises. And if you make a mistake, it's bad, you know, and it was like that for so many years. I have to say, I think things are definitely changing now. I think it's improving.
It's improving now.
Younger people are doing much better, and you see more Spanish football players, men and women, who go to England or English speaking countries, who have a good level of English before they actually come to the country. So that's a positive thing that we're seeing, and we're definitely moving in the right direction. Well, one example of a young Spanish player who's recently moved to England and already knew how to speak English is Sergio Reguilón. Now, he signed for Tottenham from Sevilla last summer. And in his first interview, he showed us some of his English skills, some of his phrases that he had. I have to say, he speaks very confidently, and he also has a good pronunciation, very good pronunciation. However, I did notice a very small mistake, a very, very, very small mistake that he made in his interview. Y creo que es importante señalarlo. It's important to highlight it. It's important to point it out. So we're going to have a listen to this, and we're going to see if we can detect the little mistake that he makes here.
I'm very happy to be here. I want to work with my teammates and meet the city and only work for football.
So Ruben, Reguilón makes a little mistake. He says, I'm very happy to be here. I want to work with my teammates and meet the city.
You can meet the city. You can meet a guy, not a city.
It's true. Yep. You can meet a person. You can meet a guy. You can meet a girl, a man, or a woman. You don't meet a city. You never meet a city. You either visit a city, like visitar. You either visit a city, which would be conocer, or you get to know a city is another way, is a very common way to say it. So that's like llegar a conocer almost. You get to know a city, or you visit a city if it's like for the first time. So what should Reguilón say in order to say quiero conocer la ciudad? What should he say?
I want to visit the city, or I want to get to know the city.
Exactly. I want to visit the city, or I want to get to know the city. So it's a very small mistake. You obviously understand what he's saying because you as someone who studied Spanish, I know that he's translating conocer there. And that's why he says no. But it's not quite correct. So you understand it, but it's not correct. What you should say is, I want to visit the city, or I want to get to know the city. In the same way, if you want to say, ¿conoces Madrid?, for example, as a question, you would say, have you visited Madrid? You wouldn't say, do you know Madrid? You would never say that. Everyone knows Madrid. Everyone knows that Madrid exists. But visiting Madrid is different from knowing it. But apart from that small mistake, he spoke very well, and I'm sure he's learning very fast, and he'll only improve with time, which is good. On the pitch, he's also having a great season, and he's been at the heart of a lot of Tottenham Hotspur's best performances this year so far. Off the pitch, however, he was involved in a bit of controversy, a polémica, a bit of controversy over the Christmas period. Wasn't he, Ruben?
Wow.
There was a little controversy here.
Yeah, it happened something interesting because Reguilón was going to be alone at home in Christmas. Uh-huh. Jose Mourinho, his coach, decided to give him a cycling pig. A cycling pig es un cochinillo. No digáis Little Pig, no digáis Piglet, como dijo Mourinho. Mal dicho, Mourinho, mal. Y what happened? But Reguilón, at the end, decided to go out and went to a party with a lot of people. And Mourinho was very sad and disappointed.
He was very, very sad and very disappointed. We're going to do a listening, actually, with Mourinho, but we're going to do a quick repaso, a quick review of some vocabulary in order to understand this this story, because it's very interesting. Now, as you said there, suckling pig is the correct way to say cochinillo. Mourinho says piglet. Now, piglet is the same as saying, like, little pig, like cerdito, which means it's almost like crudo. It's like a raw thing or a living thing.
Te puedes comer a cycling pig.
Uh-huh.
Un cerdito, si no eres el lobo feroz, no se entiende.
Yeah, if you're not a wild wolf, if you're not a wolf or something, you don't want to eat a raw pig. You want to eat a cochinillo, a suckling pig, which is the cooked thing. Also, Piglet, which is what Mourinho said, Piglet is a character in Winnie the Pooh. He's a little pig in Winnie the Pooh as well, so it's not that. He's not going to eat poor piglet. He's going to eat a suckling pig. So that's how you say that. That's how you say cochinillo. Also, how would you say un regalo fantástico in English?
You can say amazing gift or amazing present.
Exactly, yeah. Amazing gift, amazing present. Regalo can be gift or present. Very good. And how would you say Portuguese? Careful with the pronunciation here.
Portuguese.
Fantastic.
Hay que sacar la che a pasear. Portuguese.
That's it. It's a ch sound, yeah. So it's Portugal for the country and Portuguese for the nationality. And you said this earlier, Ruben. How would you say de estar solo en casa? Estar solo en casa, como solo.
You can say alone. I discovered it with Alone in the Dark, a video game it is a lot of time ago. By myself, I can see, or by himself, or on his own, por ejemplo.
Fantastic, good. And if it was a woman, we would change it to by herself or on her own. But in this case, we're talking about Reguilón, who's a man, so we would say by himself or on his own. And or you could say alone, like Home Alone, like the film with Macaulay Culkin from the 1980s.
Home Alone, claro, yeah, claro, Home Alone. Solo en casa, decimos aquí.
Solo en casa, Home Alone it is in English. Very good. Okay. And lastly, to say pasar in the sense of pasar las Navidades solo, we would use the verb...
Spend, huh? Yeah, spend.
Yeah, like gastar. Yeah, so we use the same verb as with money. Yeah, that's what we say. Now, let's do a listening of this press conference where we see that Mourinho is disappointed at Reguilón. Remember, disappointed is decepcionado. Disappointed. And let's have a listen to what Mourinho says about this Cochinillo gate.
An amazing gift. A Portuguese piglet, which is amazing for Portuguese and Spanish. So I gave him because I was told that he was going to spend Christmas on his own.
So Mourinho is very disappointed. You can tell by the tone of his voice. Have you ever seen some bad? You're from Segovia. Have you ever seen any menus that say like something wrong?
Sí, a ver, es cierto que a veces en los menús, los últimamente ya están mucho mejor, pero alguna vez Suckling Pig va con una L y a veces esa L la quitan y dicen como Sucking Pig, Suck es como amamantar, chupar, ¿no?
Yep.
Como cerdo chupador. Hay que poner la L para que sea correcto. Y bueno, y hablando de Reguilón, también es verdad que el cochinillo era portugués y no de Segovia. A lo mejor, como segoviano lo digo, ¿eh? Pero que a lo mejor si fuera de Segovia, Reguilón se habría quedado en casa, ¿no?
That's Ruben's impartial opinion about the, yeah. The suckling pig from Segovia versus the Portuguese one. Well, I have to say, I've never tried a Portuguese suckling pig. I did have a Segovian one right next to the aqueduct in Segovia when I went there. And it was amazing. They break it with the plate and everything. They get a plate and they
break it. Cándido.
It's incredible. In Cándido, yeah, it's a very famous thing. So very strange, but who knows? Maybe if Mourinho had given him a Segovian suckling pig, he wouldn't have gone to the party. Who knows? Anyway, let's move on. Now, this weekend, it's tomorrow actually, I think it's 5:30 Spanish time, there's a game featuring one of the biggest football rivalries in English football. And that's Liverpool versus Manchester United. Now, Ruben, why did I use the word rivalry instead of derby to describe this game, Manchester United against Liverpool?
Claro, because derby, they are two teams in the same city. However, it's a rivalry if they are two very big teams, like Barcelona and Madrid, for example.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Barcelona and Madrid's not a derby. It's a rivalry because they're from different parts of Spain. It's the same with Liverpool and Manchester United. It's not a derby because they come from two different cities. It is, however, a rivalry because the two teams are among the most successful in the history of English football. And although they're not from the same city, they are fairly close in terms of geography, with about 56 kilometres separating the two cities. So let's do a quick vocabulary and a quick translation list about this derby because it's good to understand the context. So again, how would you say rivalidad?
Rivalry.
Yeah, so just the pronunciation is rivalry.
Rivalry.
Yeah.
Rivalry.
Yeah, it's true, it's spelled like rivalry, but we say rivalry, so rivalry. Very good. How would you say noroeste?
Noroeste, norwest.
Fantastic. Northwest. Very good. How would you say exitoso?
Successful.
Very good. Successful. Successful, yeah. Un éxito is success, and exitoso is successful. Very good. How would you say Copa de Europa?
European Cup.
Fantastic. Not to be confused with the Eurocopa, which is what we would call the Euros or the European Championship. That's different. That's an international tournament. The Copa de Europa is the European Cup. And how would you say título de liga?
League title.
Fantastic. League title. Yep, the same as in Spanish. Okay, so how would you say es la rivalidad más fuerte del fútbol inglés?
It's the biggest rivalry in English football.
Fantastic. It's the biggest rivalry in English football. Good pronunciation of rivalry there. How would you say ambos clubes provienen del noroeste de Inglaterra?
Both clubs come from the northwest of England.
Perfect, excellent. Both clubs come from the northwest of England. How would you say son los equipos ingleses más exitosos?
They are the most successful English team.
Fantastic. Good, yeah, and with the plural, very good. They're the most successful English teams. How would you say el Liverpool tiene 6 Copas de Europa y 19 títulos de Liga?
Liverpool has 6 European Cups and 19 league titles.
Very good. And how would you say el Manchester United tiene 3 Copas de Europa y un récord de 20 títulos de Liga?
Manchester United has 3 European Cups and a record 20 league titles.
Fantastic. Perfect. Yeah, Manchester United has 3 European Cups and a record 20 league titles. Now, in recent years, both teams have had a lot of high-profile Spanish players as well, aside from a lot of English players and players from everywhere else. A lot of big Spanish players. We've had Xabi Alonso, Fernando Torres, Pepe Reina for Liverpool. For Manchester United, there's been David De Gea, Ander Herrera, Juan Mata. So there's been a big Spanish presence in this derby over recent years. Now, Rubén, there's a little quiz we can do in order to averiguar, in order to figure out if you're a United fan or a Liverpool fan. Shall we try?
I think it's a great game.
It's a great game because a lot of people.
Because I don't know if I prefer Liverpool or Manchester United. It's going to help me to find out it.
Exactly. Yeah, help you find it out. And I think a lot of people at home probably don't have a preference either. So we're going to do a little quiz here. So, question number one: your preference, Old Trafford or Anfield? Which is the best stadium?
Anfield.
Anfield, okay, so that's 1-0 to Liverpool. Anfield, I think I agree with you. I think Anfield's a better stadium than Old Trafford. It is smaller, but I think it's a better football stadium. Question number two, Manchester United or Liverpool, who has the best kit? Now remember, kit is equipación. So who has the best kit between Manchester United and Liverpool?
Manchester United.
I think so, Manchester United, okay, 1-1. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a difficult one, that. I'd actually prefer Liverpool for that one, but yeah, I'll agree. It's a subjective thing there. So
I remember when I was a kid, I was estuve cerca. I was very close.
I was very close. Yeah.
By Manchester United kit.
You were close to buying the United kit. Well, I'll tell you something. The first kit I ever bought was Manchester United 1999, I think it was, and it was their away kit. It was their second kit. It was the sponsor was Sharp, which is an electronics company. So yeah, that was my first kit. But I'm not a Manchester United fan, but that was my first kit. Question number three, Alex Ferguson or Kenny Dalglish, the battle of the
Alex
Scottish
Ferguson.
Managers.
Alex Ferguson.
Ferguson, no question. I think I'm going to go with Dalglish there because he's a record goal scorer for Scotland, the national team. So I'll go with Kenny Dalglish. That's Manchester United there for you. David De Gea or Pepe Reina?
Pepe Reina.
Oh, this is close. Music. On to music. The Bee Gees or Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Neither of them.
Neither? Okay. We'll just put
no, because I know the Bee Gees. Frankie, I don't know who he is. And Bee Gees, I know them, but I don't like them too much. Really.
Okay. We'll leave that one blank. Okay. Beatles or Oasis?
Beatles.
Beatles, okay, so Beatles from Liverpool, Oasis from Manchester, that's a point for Liverpool, for the Beatles. I think I agree with you there, Beatles. David Beckham or Steve McManaman?
David Beckham.
David Beckham, one back from Manchester. Mara Montaña, sea or mountain?
Sea.
Sea. Liverpool by the sea, Manchester's inland near the mountains, and more the sea as well. And lastly, Jurgen Klopp or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Jurgen Klopp.
Think so? Yeah. Oh, it's a difficult one for me. I think I would just go with Klopp. I really like Ollie, though. I really like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think he's a nice guy. And when I was growing up, he was one of my favourite players. I absolutely loved Ole Gunnar Solskjaer growing up. Right, this is a close one. You've got Old Trafford or Anfield. You've gone with Anfield, so that's 1-0 to Liverpool. Manchester United, Liverpool has the best kit. You've gone for Manchester, so that's 1 each. You've gone for Alex Ferguson over at Kenny Dalglish, 2-1 to Manchester. Liverpool equalised because you prefer Reina. The Bee Gees or Frankie Goes to Hollywood, you avoided that question.
Yes.
Beatles over Oasis, so 3-2 to Liverpool. David Beckham or Steve McManaman, you've gone for David Beckham. That's 3-3. Sierra Mountain, you've gone for C, 4-3. It's Liverpool. Liverpool have won, so you're going to go with Liverpool, and you prefer Klopp over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yes. So, not bad. Okay, well, that was a good one. So, Ruben is going with Liverpool tomorrow. Now, with that question solved, we're going to finish the show, as always, by revealing the identity of this week's mystery player. Mystery player. Ruben, clue number one.
He played in his entire career in Italy.
Very good. He played his entire career, toda su carrera, he played his entire career in Italy. Clue number two. He was voted one of the best players of the 20th century. And clue number three, Ruben.
Se negó a tirar un penalti. He refused to take a penalty against his former teams out of respect for the club.
Fantastic.
Se negó a tirar un penalti por respeto al equipo.
Yes, an interesting one. He refused to take a penalty because he used to play for the team out of respect for the team. Clue number four, he got on very badly, se llevaba fatal, he got on very badly with managers Arrigo Sacchi and Fabio Capello, had a very bad relationship with them. And clue number five.
He says that he can't sleep because of something that happened at the 1994 World Cup in the USA.
I think this is the biggest clue here. The biggest clue, I think. He says he can't sleep. No puede dormir tranquilo. He can't sleep because of something that happened in the 1994 World Cup in the USA. As always, if you think you know the answer, you can write to us on Twitter at SpeakFootball, and you can let us know who you think the mystery player is. That's all we've got time for on this week's show. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you had a good Christmas and a very happy new year, and we're happy to be back with you, and we'll see you again next week. Bye bye.
Bye.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza, Cleopatra y Marco Antonio, Adán y Eva, Romeo y Julieta, Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
Más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temporada.